This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Douglas's contract was up after this season. I don't know that he wanted to stay there anyway, but the Jets made it simple on him today. And obviously, Woody Johnson fired him this morning, just as he fired Robert Saleh on a Tuesday morning last month. And so the Jets are starting from the ground up again.
There's Adam Schefter there on yesterday's firing of Joe Douglas. Happened about a half hour after we got off air. Not too surprising, as Schefter even pointed out there, like this last year of his contract. I also saw reports too. It's like he's been miserable. Why not do it now? They're going on the bye week. It is so fun though that this went as bad as it could for the Jets. Mm-hmm. I mean, like if you had to, what's the worst case scenario?
When Aaron Rodgers,
like realistic
Aaron
worst case
Rodgers,
scenario.
First step into the building. Okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? It's this.
It is that by year two, everyone is fired. They're not even going to win six games.
How are you feeling if you're like Sauce Gardner or Garrett Wilson?
Oh, this sucks. This is awful.
Because like if you're Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, like you're so young in your NFL careers. And all of this turmoil has just followed you for your whole time in the NFL.
Well, I mean, you kind of knew. You got drafted by the Jets. You had an uphill battle.
That's fair.
You did. But, I mean, just it's gone as bad as it could for the Jets. Mm. They've won one game since firing Robert Saleh.
Yeah. I mean, anti-head coach bump.
Oh, man. Yeah, not great. I think their defensive stats have also gone down.
Everything has, on both sides of the ball, it's all gone down.
Bad vibes. Joining us now on the, I guess, kind of Western hotline, but not really. He's sitting right next to me.
Sitting in front of us.
The Duntire Studio. It's in the Duntire Studio, actually.
So how are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. How are you? What did something happen with Sauce Gardner?
No, we're talking about the Jets. We listened to Adam Schefter kind of give the obituary to Joe Douglas. And was like, they go kind of new, but why not now?
Yeah, you know, he gets a lot of credit for drafting well. And I'm not going to take away some of the really nice draft picks he's had. They've had a lot of draft capital with some of the trades they made early on. And they were drafting high. It's also, it's more of a hit rate to draft high. You don't have to all the time. But I just think that they've just managed themselves into a really, really, you know, terrible position, obviously. And it looks like they're in for a hard reset that could take a little while.
It's going to take a little while, too. And I know this has become a conversation the last, like, few, I'd even say just the last few days. It's a bad quarterback draft class, too. So, I mean, you've got an older quarterback that seemingly has bad vibes all around your team that already didn't have great vibes. And I mean, if you're not getting Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, even then...
There's no way Deion Sanders lets Shedeur Sanders go.
No, like, I don't think so.
He would see the Jets and just absolutely not.
Did either of you see that yesterday, Michael Urban on the Herd talking about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. And I have a couple things to say about that. First of all, anybody who thinks that Shedeur Sanders isn't like... I saw a lot of like, wow, who's going to draft him that high? Oh, he's actually legit prospect, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But here's the thing. Like, so what Michael Urban said was, so people to catch up, Michael Urban said... He has very good sources, meaning obviously Deion, right?
Totally, I mean, Deion.
Yeah, he's very close to him. That said, that if that Shedeur Sanders, Deion's son, got drafted by the Cowboys, Deion would take that job because people have tied Deion to the Cowboys job because he's a former Cowboy and it's Jerry Jones and glitz and glamour and he's doing well in Colorado. But here's the part about this I don't get. Are you telling me that the Cowboys would literally wait until after the draft to hire a head coach? Because how do you know they're going to draft him? Mm. What? You can't do that. You can't hire a head coach in May.
You would have to have the first overall pick.
And know who
and
you're
then
taking.
You can do it. Yeah.
Exactly. You can't do it.
No.
So that doesn't wash with me. Like, he would have to take the job in January, and then they'd have to do whatever they can to move heck and high water to get Shedeur Sanders. Or they'd have to just think, let's hope we get him. Or they say, yeah, we'll wait. We'll hire you after. But then what's the point? Because then there's nobody else left to hire anyway.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is gone.
Yeah. And if there's so much chatter around, like, Deion actually pushing for his son to get drafted by certain teams, is that actually going to scare teams off? Or are they just going to be like, no, you're lying. That's not true. Like,
I do think that there's an element of, we've seen this with some people over the years. What's the gentleman in basketball with his kids that came up and he was always
The Ball family.
The Ball family, yeah.
Lonzo Ball, right? Yep. We saw this kind of thing. I'm not comparing Deion to Lonzo Ball. My point is, we've seen parents get so involved where teams are like, I don't know if I want to deal with that at that level. And here's a football guy, he's a football coach, and he's going to draw a lot of attention. Like, I think about, I have no idea if the Bills would consider, like, obviously they don't need a quarterback, right? So let's just say it wouldn't be the Bills, but I think about a team like the Bills, like, that's the kind of team that wouldn't want that necessarily hanging around their building and every day and all the talk and the distraction. Like, it's just everything they're not about.
Like, a team that has that type of culture that just isn't, it's not this drama fest, essentially. Because that's kind of what all this is.
That's exactly what you bring with it, right? The same thing with, like, Deion said something like, I'll make sure Travis Hunter goes to the right spot. How are you going to make sure of that? Like, you can't
Into this, what this draft season could be. And it helps, too, that Colorado's been good this year.
Yeah, for sure.
A very real chance.
And Travis Hunter's amazing.
I think now he is the Heisman favorite.
Do you guys think he's going to pick one position? Or do you think he's going to try to do the dual position thing?
I've been so up to him on that. Yeah,
that's fair. You're right.
It does not matter what he wants to do.
That's true.
Once he gets to the NFL, they'll say, you're either a wide receiver or a DB, or we'll let you do both. That it's not up to him.
I just wonder if a team's going to let him do both.
I'll be very surprised if any team lets him do both. I think you want to get the most out of one.
I think a team would put him in spot duty on something or other.
Okay.
We've seen that before it happened, right? But in the NFL, you have to train at, you know, one spot kind of. So it'd be interesting. But anyway, just going back to all that, I just don't think I think it's really interesting when Michael said that, and I'm thinking, well, how are you supposed to wait till the draft and then hire a coach? It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And even then, the marriage between Jerry and Deion would be the I mean, as an outside person, I'm here for it. That's a reality TV show.
Jerry loves Deion. They love each other. Mm-hmm. But I would say, I even think Jerry Jones wouldn't want Deion Sanders because Jerry's the face of the organization. You hire Deion, he's immediately the face of the organization.
Yeah. I mean, Jerry gives interviews after every single game.
Yeah.
Deion's also going to give an interview. With that being said, though, Deion in the cowboy hat with all the cowboy, like,
it would really fit.
TV would love that.
Yeah.
But see, the Bills, 9-2 going into the bye.
Yep.
We were talking expectations yesterday. I thought they could win a Super Bowl in a transition year. Teams have done it. Kansas City's done it.
Yeah.
But it is kind of surprising that, like, this year, of all these years, this is sort of their best start. Not sort of. It is their best start in the Josh Allen era. It's
best surprising. Start. Best 11 games in 32 years, right? It's incredible. And I just think it's so wild to me how so many people thought in August, June, July, August, going into the season, that this team was resetting, rebuilding. And here they are with this type of record. Like, you have to give so much credit to this organization for being able to navigate that. It's not all about Josh Allen. He's playing great. I mean, he's not having an unbelievable record-breaking year. It's all about what they're doing as a team overall. Yes, of course, you don't have Josh Allen. This doesn't happen. But I just think the organization deserves a lot of credit. I think that they knew that it would be a transition year. They said that. And even probably in their own building, they'd wonder, what does it look like? But we're confident. We're confident. I remember in training camp, players like Deion Dawkins saying, like, yeah, everybody's kind of thinks that we're kind of taking this step back. We're going to surprise a lot of people. They don't realize how good we're going to be. And even I had my doubts, but thought they'll still compete. They'll be fine. Like, at this point, I figured if you can get to 7-4, that'd be a nice record. Like, that's a good record after 11 games for this team. And maybe you're competing for a division. To be 9-2 is just, it blows my mind that this team could be 9-2 after everything we've seen. And you look at the roster too. I think we could make an argument that it's not the most talented roster they've had in the Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean era.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
But they're playing really, really, really good football, and they're playing together, and it speaks to the culture they built, speaks to speaks to identifying talent, the young talent that can come up and fill in. That's a big part of it, too. They're getting guys who are ready to step into roles who didn't have to before, and now they are, and they're ready for that.
I think it's kind of interesting, too, because the whole everybody eats mantra at the beginning of the season, it's not that it hasn't been there, but it's only been there in, like, certain weeks. Like, you haven't seen one main guy step through as, like, the main target or whatever, but you also have seen for a two-week period, Keon Coleman's going off for these two games right. or this game or whatever. And then, oh, look, it's Mac Hollins actually, like, stepping up, and here he is. And it's like, I thought Everybody Eats was going to be, you know, every game you have all of these different players doing so many different things.
Sure.
But in reality, it's been this week it's your turn, this week it's your turn. And it's just, it's worked. And it's
a good point.
Great.
And I think that that's based on if a defense comes into a game and goes, well, listen, we need to shut down Khalil Shakir. Well, now suddenly maybe Keon Coleman has a breakout game, right? Boy, we need to shut down, you know, now Amari Cooper. Well, here's Dalton Kincaid. And of course, you know, he was injured last week. So I do think that that happens. Look, we all know Stephon Diggs is a great player, right? This is not to diminish that whatsoever. But I think everything we just talked about with the culture and building and like how you, what we just talked about with Deion and all that, when you have a presence like Stephon Diggs in your building and every day, it weighs on you, I think, as an organization to make sure that like that guy's getting his, right? It doesn't have to be him saying, I have to, or I'm going to be a bad teammate. I'm not saying that. But I do think you think about it all the time. Like, we got this guy. We got to feed him. That's why he's here. We're paying him a lot of money. And I just think it really kind of freed up. Not having him, they're not as talented. There's no doubt. They're not as talented at wide receiver this year. But it's freed them up to be able to utilize everybody and not worry about who's getting the ball. And everybody does pull for everybody, and everybody eats in that sense. So it does work. Yeah, it's amazing, I think, how this transformation has kind of taken place when you look at the offense and all of that. And look, not having Dalton Kincaid last game, not having Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman, and still able to move the ball the way they did, and it wasn't always great. It was a struggle at times, but to be able to score 30 points all these weeks that they have is pretty remarkable. I think it's amazing that here we are, and yet they still have reinforcements coming. They're getting healthy.
That's how I looked at it, yeah. That's how I
looked at it. Right? It's incredible to think that they can get maybe to an even better level, another level, after what they're doing based on these guys coming. And the team has played the long game, guys. They have said, like, maybe, I don't know this, but let's just say Dalton Kincaid was close. Let's just say Keon Coleman was close. Spencer Brown. What did they say? No, we don't need to do that. We're okay here. These guys can play, and you give them an extra week, and that's what's kind of been it's the reward that keeps giving.
And it also shows like the confidence they have in their backups, in those guys like Ryan Vandermark. I mean, that he stepped into his first NFL start and was shut down Chris Jones.
And
it
I think that, well, he didn't shut down Chris Jones. Osiris Torrance did, because he's on the inside.
That's true.
Right? But he played really well. But you're right. I mean, on the right tackle, I guess you're right. When he's playing that's right. I'm sorry. But you're right. Because I want to make sure Osiris Torrance gets his props.
Always,
he had a great game. He had a great game. It wasn't a one-on-one thing with Ryan Vandermark. Your point is right, though, about Ryan Vandermark. And this is what I like to say. How many people? There's a lot of Bills fans out there who could not tell you how or when they acquired Ryan Vandermark. There's people thinking, oh, they must say, was in UDFA this year? Nope. He's been in the organization for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. They must have signed him after the draft. And what? Nope. He was actually in UDFA by the Indianapolis Colts. They waived him. The Bills then plucked him to their practice squad. This is what I mean. They identify this talent and say, this is a guy we think in a couple of years can be good for us. Let's develop him. Let's work him. And when you have a GM and a head coach on the same wavelength, I'll give you one that I think doesn't get talked about enough. Like, what a great move it was to trade for Brandon Codrington.
Oh, yeah. I love him so much.
Right? I mean,
he's been such a fun piece on this special team.
But I mean, like, think about how shaky the return game was in the preseason and all that.
Yeah.
It is completely stabilized. Like, there's no question. When this guy's getting the ball, A, you're thinking, oh, yeah, we're okay. Mm-hmm. You know, granted, he may have had the fumble. He's not going to make a mistake. He's going to make good decisions. Oh, by the way, he might take one to the house.
Yeah, they haven't had that since Andre Roberts.
Exactly right. And he's a rookie. He's young.
You could maybe have him just as a piece for the next few years.
I mean, you talk about the Jets earlier. I get the Jets have Gibson's their returner. He's really good.
Yeah.
But when they traded for Codrington, and I watched him the first couple of times I watched him, I thought, boy, the Jets might regret trading this kid in their division. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be really good.
It's a lot of fun.
Little things like that matter.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about, like, the organization needs to get more credit than often they're given. I mean, McDermott maybe especially is always lambasted. You've brought up, too, the fourth down point where out of nowhere, he's too conservative on fourth down. You're sitting there going, like,
it's just
him and Dan Campbell and everybody else.
Yesterday, there was that tweet that Ben Baldwin had, Computer Cowboy. I think it was from him, if I remember right. And I quote tweeted it and said, boy, I'm surprised even how aggressive he's been.
Yeah.
He's been very aggressive, and anybody who says that he hasn't, it's just what you say when you don't like the guy or because he coaches defense. It's just what you say. It's just wrong, right? But yet, sure enough, someone had a reply to me that said, well, he's really aggressive against the weaker teams, but not against the better teams. Like, what information are you gathering from?
Where's this
coming from? That is not true. He's been aggressive. Now, look, it doesn't mean he's perfect. He's not infallible. We know that. He had a bad challenge the other day, right? At the end of the Houston game, they screwed that up. But you want to put that on Sean? He's the head coach, of course. Him and Joe Brady. That has happened. We know it's happened in the past for sure. Every coach has these moments. Every coach has times where they screw up or, you know, don't play the clock right or challenges. But this coach here, for what he's done with this team, to be able to build, to be able to develop, and then now you put that with the piece of being more aggressive in those moments and those situations, people want to see it in the playoffs. But I just think he deserves credit for it.
I'm seeing this chart for the first time, and wow.
It's incredible.
I didn't realize it was that big of a difference.
Him and Dan Campbell, everybody else.
Yeah. And it's also interesting to see the Chiefs all the way back at the end. Like, that's, wow.
Now, someone said, yeah, but if you look at that chart, someone said, but what you really want is to be high up on the right side, like the top right, because that shows you're really aggressive in all situations. I said, that's a good point if you say what you want. You don't have to necessarily want it. To me, that chart's showing he's been smart aggressive.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? It's not reckless aggressive. It's smart aggressive.
Did you hear him on with Shope and the Bulldog?
I did. It was amazing.
He gave a long answer on all the fourth downs.
Yes, it was great.
It was.
Credit to Mike for asking him to walk through the process. Yes.
It was great. I will say this, and Sal, you're around him much more, but from the outside in, it does feel like this year, him and the team, a little more relaxed. It has felt like the last few years they've been wound up tight. And this year, I mean, McDermott's making jokes with the media I hear constantly, even in the post game. He's making jokes with Mike and Chris. And I'm like, maybe there is this feeling of, okay, it didn't happen in the first era, if you will, with Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, and that group. But we like this group, and maybe there is a little bit of pressure off them.
Sure, I do. I think so. I think there's something to be said for that, and they can play a little more free. So, and Josh, you know, it's so funny. He's still kind of maintaining. Remember last year it was like the 2 years ago, whatever it was, low positive. It was just, he never seemed like he was ever happy.
It's the worst verb.
Now
ever,
today,
always.
I mean, now you watch him this week, last week in these games, he's shown a lot of emotion in the game. But after the game, he's very calm, collected, talks about, hey, it's one game at a time, 1 week at a time. I think he's much more mature at that level as well. But he's not just being low positive because he's emotional in games. Right? But I do think that there's there's a bigger picture at play here that we're trying to accomplish, and they're not going to be satisfied until they get that.
All right, Sal, we do got to hit a break, but before we do that, what do you got planned for the bye week here?
I am heading out today. We are traveling out and flying out to San Francisco tomorrow morning.
I want you to know I'm immensely jealous.
I've known about this trip for a few weeks. I texted Pat Hammer. Really a lot of rain happening this weekend, unfortunately, in that area. Today, like, they're calling like a bomb cyclone or something, a weather event. I'm like, what is this? I'm going out there. I know, right? Something like that. A lot of weather. Anyway, we're not going to let that deter us because hopefully the weather dries up a little bit. But Alcatraz Friday night.
There you go.
Night tour. Sabres Sharks on Saturday in San Jose. That's going to be fun. If you're out, we're going to try. I'll be putting stuff on my social media at Sal Sports. Going to try and meet up with some Bills backers after the Shark Sabres game because it's actually going to end at like 8 o'clock their time. So we'll have some time. So in San Jose, if you're in San Jose, San Francisco area, I'm trying to hook up with some of the backers there. We're going to go someplace. I'll tell everybody where it's going to be. We'll do that. Then hitting up Napa on Sunday and tasting some wine.
Beautiful, man. Have a great time.
Thanks, guys. We'll be back next week, and you guys do a great job, and I appreciate you always every day here 10 to 12. I know that this time slot's important for people, and obviously I know you'll be filling in on Monday while I'm gone, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man. Got to take a quick time out here. Still, of course, always taking your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live also coming up at the top of the hour. This is WGR.